Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel. And the 19th chapter. As our brother Bruce was speaking, I was thinking of these thinking patterns and so forth that he mentioned, and the blessedness of having divine revelation from the Word of the living God. In chapter 19, verse 30, we find ourselves at the end of the Lord's crucifixion. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Another verse, he tells us, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This isn't an earthly rest of sleep. He bows his blessed head on his own breast. And as the conversation on the Mount of Transfiguration, his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. All of divine revelation comes to a focal point at Calvary that is unequaled in all of history. Let's go to chapter 20. Well, perhaps chapter 19 and verse 38, we find Joseph of Arimathea and it says, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." We read in Isaiah 53, "He was with the rich in his death." So many wonderful prophecies that could not have been planned to be fulfilled by this blessed man. No mere man could cause this to happen. God's whole purpose is being accomplished. But there was on my heart particularly the next chapter. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. What is happening in these hearts? Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, they have one object. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. What was it John believed? That the body was gone? These are very important moments. We read of the disciples, they all forsook him and fled. Verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She has one object. You could say there's a lack of understanding as to what's going on. But beloved brethren, she has the right person in view. The heart will have nothing less than its object. What is her object? A dead Christ? We could say that's not very intelligent from a Christian point of view. But it's blessed instruction to your heart and mind to say, that heart will not settle for less than its object. Has anyone here ever seen an angel? I don't think I have. I'm not aware that I have. I've seen things happen that made me feel they were quite near. But how does an angel affect Mary? Her heart says, You're not my object. Not even an angel or two angels deters her from this. I want Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Is my heart like that? I feel the need in my own heart of that, to apprehend himself. Do we dare do with less as we read his word? And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. She's weeping. How much do you see when you're weeping? You don't see very well, do you? Things are blurry. But she has one object in view. She turns herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Where's John and Peter? They went home. Perhaps they reasoned about it. What do we do now? We learn a little later there's really quite a bit of fear because of what the Jews had done. When they do come together, they close the doors for fear. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? I ask my own heart. Would you ask yours? Who do I seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Have you ever dealt with the dead weight of a human body? Her love said this, but that'd be pretty difficult for any man or woman to take a full-size human being by themselves, dead weight. What do we learn from it? A heart that wants its object, unintelligent it may be, but it wants Jesus. Let's turn to chapter 10 and come back to this same chapter. Chapter 10 and verse 4, the last five words read about his sheep. They know his voice. Verse 3 says, He calleth his own sheep by name. Back to our chapter 20 and verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I've heard it, Rab means teacher. Rabbi means teacher of my mind, and Rabboni means master of my heart. I don't have any way of verifying that. I don't know. But this is not used, maybe what this wants in the scripture, Rabboni. What a revelation. This one man, if I may use Bruce's words, is going to do good to all that will have him. What a revelation. Let's look briefly at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We are familiar with this portion, I trust. There's an old man, a priest, who goes into the temple to offer incense at the hour of incense. And he's been praying for years for a son. And now he's very old. His wife is barren, verse 7. Both now well stricken in years. And verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You know, when Mary saw those angels, her object is so much the Lord himself. You don't read of fear there. Isn't that amazing? Those mighty beings are not our object. What's my object? What's your object? Is it power? Is it miracles? Is it having life the way you were used to it? Or is my object Jesus? This man is told, verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Well, we know the rest of the story. How Zacharias didn't believe it. How he got a rebuke from the angel. And the point I want to make is this. For 9 months, this man could not speak. You can imagine how, to use the expression, the gears turned in his head and he had to write notes. And that heart watched as his wife pregnancy waxed greater and greater, and his heart began to believe in ways that maybe he hadn't for some time. But after 9 months of silence, you just see praise and prophecy, that it's amazing. It's wonderful. If I didn't say that right, I'm sorry. I'm not sure how I said it. But anyway, here in chapter 20, I was thinking how you get a death situation with Zacharias. They're both advanced in age, and God brings life out of death. In our chapter, in verse 16, Jesus has been down into death, many deaths. And now there's a bursting forth with life and light and immortality through the gospel like was never, ever known to man and is yet proclaimed today. When he says, Rabboni, and she says, or she says, Rabboni, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. You see, this precious soul, though unintelligent in apprehending the situation, she has the right object. But she's touching him, and he says, don't go on touching me. I'm not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. What a revelation. All that Zacharias said in Luke in the earlier chapters, you know, this is such a tremendous thing. Mary, the mother of Jesus, has had that sword go through her own soul. She's not the Mary here. Isn't that amazing? This is Mary Magdalene. Why is she getting this direct divine revelation of the resurrected Lord? Because of heart. It's not the mind that's at work. It's the heart that will have nothing less than Jesus for its enjoyment. And that's my need. That's your need. This blessed man has just broken the power of the grave. Completely. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What a precious revelation. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. How wonderful this divine revelation, this breaking of the power of the grave. You know, in Luke chapter 8, it speaks of the woman that followed him. It says, I think in verse 3, certain women out of whom he had cast out of, let's read it, I don't remember the exact words. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. We'll read from verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain